Y'all, before Dee and I sing this morning, I want to tell you a little bit about this song. I don't know whether you put on my glasses. I knew something was wrong. If you don't know the history of this song, you know, it was a favorite of my daddy's, but after I realized how much a favorite was, I heard somebody tell this story before, but anyway, I went and read it a few years ago, but it was written by a guy by the name of Horatio Spafford, if I said that right. Back in he was late 1800s, early 1900s when he lived, but he evidently was a fellow of good wealth, had a lot of money, did real well, lived in Chicago. He lost a son at the age of 2. And then in the Great Fire of Chicago, it pretty well ruined him financially. He was a successful lawyer and had a lot of real estate investments and that kind of stuff. And so he lost a lot of money. Then later on, they were going to Europe for a visit or what, I forget exactly what it was. Anyway, he had to stay back and look after some business ventures. And while his family was floating across the sea, the boat sank, the ship sank, and he lost 4 kids. So that's 5 kids that he's lost. And then later on, his wife survived, and they had 3 more kids. And he lost another young son, the scarlet fever. But the thing when this song came into play was when he was going across the ocean to meet his wife after he lost his kids. When they crossed the spot where the ship went down, he coined the words to it as well, my soul, you know. So he evidently had a lot of faith, a lot of strength in the Lord to be able to write the words to this song. Then when my family, Daddy, loved this song, sort of the anthem for him, we played it at his funeral, Mama's funeral, and I found out this morning, Miss Beverly told me and Dee after we got through rehearsing that you're not as good as me and CL were. Daddy and Miss Beverly sang this song years ago, and I did not know that. So it's just a special song to my family. I hope I make it through it, and y'all just listen to the words, because if a guy can lose what this guy's lost those daughters in the ocean, and then when he's sailing across, they're still calling these words, you know, we all need that faith. And on Daddy's Day, you know, I think about all the young daddies out here, and I was talking to Mackey a couple of weeks ago, and Eric and Brittany got those 2 little boys back down. I think about Russ and Chad and Eric. Anyway, all the young daddies in here, be sure to enjoy these kids, because they grow up in a hurry to be married before you know it. Rick and I, Tiff and I end every phone conversation that we have with, I love you. So enjoy your family, enjoy your day. Now let me get this out of my system and I'll be all right. All right, let's go, John. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul. Glorious thought, my
sins not in part, but the whole, are nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul. It is well, it is well.
My faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend.
Try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Good to see you this morning. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Samuel, or 2 Kings. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 15. I want to say happy Father's Day to everybody. You know, I've learned that three of the greatest events that ever happened in my life, the first one was when I prayed for a wife and God gave me Robin. The second one, well, the first one was really Christ and then Robin, and then third was Ryan. We prayed and wept and cried for 7 years because we didn't know that we would ever have any children and not that God would bless us with a child. And lo and behold, April 24th, 1984, Ryan comes along. So we've learned a lot in those years. And just the Lord just gave me some things to share with you this morning concerning a devoted dad. And in 2 Samuel chapter 15, there's a pattern I want you to see this morning. And if you're taking notes, it's on the back. Don't faint. Don't freak out. I promise we're not going to be here till 1 o'clock, okay? Just some things that we're just going to hit and miss. In fact, if you look at those things we're going to look at, each one of them really is a sermon in itself. But some of the things that I've learned and continue to learn about not only being a dad, but also about being a granddad. It doesn't stop by being a dad. You have the privilege and the opportunities to become a granddad, to be able to impact and influence your children as well. Notice, if you would, first of all, in 2 Kings 15, verse 3, it talks about a man named Azariah who reigned in Judah. And verse 3 says, "And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord," and here's the key, "according to all that his father Amaziah had done." Then if you'll skip over to verse number 9, it talks about a man named Zechariah who reigned in Israel. In verse 9 it says, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his fathers had done. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin." Then if you would, turn over to chapter 21 of 2 Kings and look with me at verse 20. Look at verse number 21. Chapter 21 and verse 21 talks about a man, a king named Ammon, and he reigned a certain time. And the Bible says in chapter 21, verse 21, "So he walked in all the ways that his father had walked." Then next in chapter 22, look at verse 2, talks about a man named Josiah. And the Bible says, "And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all of the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." There's a pattern that you see where a king reigned and his son followed in the ways of his father. And the question that I was asking my heart today and this week is, in the way that I've walked, in the life that I've lived, the impact that I've made, what did my son learn? What did he see? What did he hear? Did he hear mainly someone that talked the talk but yet not walked the walk? Or did he hear someone that gave principles of truth, that not only talked about God's Word, but lived God's Word out? And there are several questions I would like to ask our dads today concerning fatherhood and being a dad. And the first thing I want you to notice is, will your children be saved early in life? I can remember back many years ago, Ryan was about 8 years old. We were in Athens, and he came down, and we had the chance, he and Robin talked, and he and I talked, and he actually gave his heart and his life to Jesus. And that was one of the greatest things that ever happened. When you see your son or your daughter come to the Lord, that's great. Oh, by the way, we found out last Sunday that my oldest grandbaby, Emily Kate, asked Jesus in her heart Sunday. So I became a little on the holiness side of the day when I heard that. It's nothing better to hear one of your children that has knowledge of truth and comes to know the Lord Jesus. No, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, and it's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's desire that you as a father and as a mother would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And it's also God's desire that our children come to know Him. And it's great when you teach them and they listen, and they hear about the Lord, and eventually they accept Christ. That's the great, one of the greatest things that could ever happen. So, will your children come to know Christ early in life? Second of all, will they be sure and secure in their salvation? I tell you, one of the most important things other than being saved is coming to a point in your life that you know that what you did, the words that you spoke, that God spoke to your heart through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, drawing you, making you realize that you are a sinner, and asking Christ to come into your heart, and knowing that salvation has come, and knowing that heaven is your home. You know, I'd hate to know every day that I would wonder, did I do enough today? Did I say enough today? Did I live enough today to make sure that I am secure in Christ? Well, the Bible teaches that you can know without a shadow of a doubt. You can have that security. And what I tell you, what breaks my heart is when you talk to somebody within the body of Christ and you say, "Do you know that heaven is your home? Do you know that you're secure in Christ?" And some say, "Well, I hope so. Or maybe, or I think I am." Listen, the Bible is very clear. You can know without a shadow of a doubt. In fact, in John chapter 10, verse 28, it talks about how Jesus said that no one can snatch you out of my Father's hands. Now, I can't help but when I see the insurance commercial, when they say, "Are you in good hands?" I always say, "Yes, Jesus has got me. I am in good hands." But if you read that verse, I mean, that's enough right there. But the Bible says that the Father, Almighty God, also has us in His hand. The Bible also says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 14 that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Also in Ephesians 4:30, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So man, no one is able, Satan himself, the world, nothing in this world is able to snatch you out of the hand of Jesus, out of the hand of God, and out of the hand of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you read 1 John, take time to read those chapters, the first five chapters in 1 John. Over and over, John says, "You'll know, you'll know, you'll know." And the word know means not just aware of who He is, but you can know of His knowledge, and you can have that peace that passeth understanding, that you can have that security to know that Christ is your Savior and you're going to heaven. And so that's an important thing, not only being saved, but knowing that you're saved and knowing that heaven's your home. Number three, will they be strong in the faith? Now, we know the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The Bible also says when Jesus was on the earth, He made a statement in Mark 4 and verse 4. He says, "Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith?" Then Jesus made the statement in Matthew chapter number 8 and verse 10, and he mentioned this to a Gentile, a Roman soldier, and he says, "I've never seen so great a faith, no, not in Israel." And even in chapter 15 of Matthew in verse 28, he talks about a Gentile woman whose daughter was healed, that she was demon-possessed, and Christ healed her. And he made the statement, "Wow, I've never seen such great faith." It's amazing that Jesus only makes mention of great faith to the Gentiles, and yet the Jews that He came to seek and to save only had either no faith or little faith. And the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you'll read verse 5, it says we should add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. So your faith should grow. Your faith should grow. Not just faith in Christ, but the faith that you have, it grows, it continues to grow. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about that growing faith. If you read Paul's letters, almost in every letter, he says, in my prayer time, I thank God always for you because I've heard of your faith. Not only their saving faith, but they were growing in the Lord. So it's great that they're saved and great that they're secure, but it's our responsibility to be able to train them, as Proverbs says, train them in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it, Proverbs 22:6. And so it's really neat to be able to see your child grow in faith and become strong in faith. Number four, will they be steadfast in their goals? You know, I've always been told you need a goal. If you don't have a goal, you don't have really anything to shoot after. Every person in this building today, there's a plan that God has for your life. There's a purpose for why you are here. There's a purpose that you're still around, that God desires to use you and to mold you and to find out what those goals are, what that plan is, what that purpose is, and to be able to use it for the glory of God. It's important that we learn about that purpose, that plan that God has for us, to be committed to that, to be sold out to the plan. And if you take that word purpose, the word P stands for pray. He wants us to pray. He wants us to unite the U. He wants us to reach people with our faith. He wants us to praise Him and give Him glory in all things. He wants us to obey the Scriptures. He wants us to be able to serve Him with all of our hearts. And then as we grow, He wants us to equip others, that they might also grow as well. So, hey, that's a big purpose, to be able to pray. And just don't take that lightly. Prayer is so powerful and so awesome. And God desires for us as a group to unite together to do great things for God. We're to reach people with the gospel message that Jesus is still saving folks. And we need to praise Him and give Him glory. I'm just totally elated with the music that's been played since we've been here. It's just awesome to see the words of glorying and praising God and obeying the Word of God and serving Him and then equipping others for the work of the ministry. Then number five, will they be sensible in their walk? Will they be wise in their walk? If you go to James 3, verses 13 to 18, James talks about the difference between unearthly wisdom. It's good to have knowledge. It's amazing how those Jeopardy guys can keep going and going and going with the knowledge that they have. But the thing that God desires for us is heavenly wisdom, discernment. And the Spirit of God gives that to us. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, before he talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, he tells us to redeem the time. Time's going by pretty fast these days. And in Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says, "See then that you, saved person, that you walk circumspectly." Now, the word walk in the New Testament is the word that describes how you live, your lifestyle, your conduct, your character. So he says here, "See then that you walk circumspectly." The word there means carefully. Walk carefully. Walk according to the Word of God. He says, not as fools. Don't be foolish in your character. Don't be foolish in your lifestyle, in your conduct, in your walk. But be wise. Gain the wisdom of God. Then he goes on to say in verse 16, redeem the time because the days are evil. Verse 17, therefore, because of that, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. And I wonder if I were to ask you today about your life, do you know what God's will is for you? Do you know what God's plan is for you? Do you know what God's purpose for you? Do you know God's will for your life personally? He says it's a very wise thing to be able to find out what God's will is and then begin to do that to please Him and to honor Him. Then, if you'll notice, number six, will they be good stewards? I can remember Robin teaching Ryan, had these little three Dixie cups. One was allowance, what you could spend, what you could give, and tithe and offering. And it's amazing. As we see him now, he works for FedEx, and how he tithes, how he gives. Not just his tithe, but he gives beyond that. He gives his offering. And I tell you what, people say, oh, great, the preacher's going to be talking about money. Did you know that Jesus spent a lot of time talking about money? Why? Because they didn't know how to give it, and they didn't know how to share it or give it as well. So it's important to learn. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verses 8 and 9, he says we're to give lavishly. We're to give cheerfully as a cheerful giver, Paul says there. And I've learned in life you can't ever outgive God. Amen? Let me hear that one more time. Amen? I'll tell you, I've tried it. I promise you, I've tried it. I'm going to be able to share with you some things in our life, our first church. It was amazing. We were green as green could be. And back in those days, of course, as now, when you're self-employed, you have to pay income tax, federal and state. And so I remember we didn't have but $400 in our banking account, and we had to give $900. And Rob and I were praying. It was about 2 weeks. And Rob said, what are we going to do? I said, well, the only thing I know is write a check and just trust God. Well, we've been giving. We've been giving more and beyond our tithe and offering. And we went out Thursday on visitation one time. Never told the church, never told anybody about what our needs were. And when we came back from visitation that Thursday night, in the door was a white envelope. And I went and opened it. There were five $100 bills. Now, that's one of those Holy Ghost moments, I want to tell you, that God answers specifically. As long as you're faithful, as long as you obey, as long as you're trusting, as long as you're living for Him, He promises to take care of you. Amen? He does. He promises to take care of your needs. Now, there may be some wants along the way, and you might get those as well, but He promises. In fact, if you'll read Matthew 6, 33, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be provided for you. Seeking His kingdom, seeking His desires, seeking to please Him and to be sold out to Him. God always comes through. Then, number seven, will they seek God in prayer? What an honor it is to pray. Amen? What an honor it is. We have the opportunity not to go through a man or an individual or denomination, but we have access through Jesus. You can read it in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Because of Christ and the cross, He makes access to the Father that we can go straight to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says, if you'll notice, in Matthew chapter 6, starting about verse 5, going down to verse 15, He gave the disciples prayer, how He taught them how to pray. Then you'll notice in chapter 7, verse 7, He says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. And if you look at the Greek context, it means when you ask, keep on asking. When you seek, you keep on seeking. When you knock, you keep on knocking. And you'll see it's sort of a progressive kind of thing. Asking gets a little bit more intense when you're seeking. And maybe something that you're faced with, maybe a tragedy, that you're knocking on the door of heaven. And God answers prayer. He always does. Sometimes it's yes, we like that, don't we? Sometimes it's maybe or wait. We don't specifically like that one, having to wait. But then sometimes He says no. But God always answers prayer. Do we teach our children how to pray? Paul, if you look at his letters to the churches, in almost every letter, he's a very thankful man. He always thanks God for the church. He always thanks them most of the time for their faith and their hope and their love. But in almost every book or letter, he says, in my prayers, constantly praying for you. Now, I don't know how long his prayer list was, but man, he had so many people, so many churches to pray for. And he believed the power of prayer. He saw it in his own life. So will we teach our kids, not just with our mouths, but have they seen us pray? Have they seen us in prayer, praying for situations and difficult times and problems and storms and how God's answered those and you get a chance to rejoice with Him? Will they know what prayer is all about? Then number 8, will they study the Scriptures? In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Notice it says, rightly divides the word of truth. By the way, Paul was a tent maker. And in making tents, he had to be very precise on how to cut the garment. And that's the way he talked about the Word of God. When we present the Word, may we present truth. May we present it powerfully. May we rightly divide. May we know, as the Spirit of God teaches us what this book has to say, that we get the interpretation to be able to apply the Word of God to our lives. He said, study to show. It's good to read it. It's good to read it. It's good to memorize it. It's good to meditate over it, but it's also good to study to show yourself approved by God, that you're rightly dividing the Word of God. And so how important it is. I can remember every night, Robin and I with Ryan would have devotions. We would have devotions with him, read the Scriptures and pray. How important that is. It really is. As I go back and look how God in the very beginning began to mold and to make him into what he is today. Then if you'll notice number 9, will they share the gospel? Will they share the gospel? Luke 19:10 says, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Proverbs 11, verse 30, the end part of that verse says, he that wins souls is wise. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Because those guys, James and John and Andrew and Peter, were fishers of fish. That was their occupation. Now God called them to follow Him. He says, I will make you to catch. I will teach you. I will develop you into men catchers. Winning people to Jesus. And how important that is. Number 10, will they serve and support the church? How important it is. And, by the way, I'm just going to give you a little quick update. You know, we're going to have an announcement here in just a minute about the nominating committee. One of the greatest things that can happen in a church is for someone to be able to find their place and know that God has placed them there to serve. And I think so many times in churches today, you have one or two or three or four or five that have so many jobs and some that don't have any. You know, we need to divide it, let everybody find their gift, as we're going to see in just a minute, find their spiritual gift and find out the place that they have to serve the Lord. How important that is. It takes the pressure. We've known in ministry, in fact, February of next year will be 40 years, and I've seen where we've taken on positions that we should not have taken on. I was telling Ryan this morning that at one church we actually took the youth Sunday school class, and I knew that wasn't going to be good because that just wasn't our calling. Robin's, she loves to be involved in children's church and children and women's ministry and things such as that. And I found out those that just take a class or those that just take a job, which they don't sense God's leading there, it becomes frustrating. And there's somebody that needs to be placed that maybe doesn't have a job or a ministry or a serving ability. So it's important to learn to serve the church and support the church. Number 11, will they be sensitive about their bodies? We found out last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that Paul says, what? Verse 19 and 20, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that you are not your own, you bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in this body which is yours. And how important in a day that we're living in today for our teenagers and young people to know that their bodies are the temples of God. And what they do with that body, God sees it. And pray that it would become pure. Paul mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, especially in the first 7 to 8 verses, about the purity of life, being pure and living holy and living a life that honors and glorifies the Lord. Then number 12 is, will they be Spirit-filled? We know that at the moment of salvation, the Spirit of God comes into our lives. That's a one-time thing. But when he mentions in Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine, whereas in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a constant thing that goes on throughout the day, throughout the week. It's sort of like, you know, if you were to go to the gas station and fill up your car and never have to fill up again, that'd be great, wouldn't it? It doesn't work that way, does it? And so it's not with the Spirit of God. There may be times where, you know, you're low. A tragedy, a problem, a storm, a difficulty comes, and there needs to be a refilling. A refilling. The word pleruo means it's sort of like taking a glass of water and filling it all the way to the top, that if you were to put one more drop in, it would overflow. That's what it means to be totally dominated by the water, is to be totally dominated by the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Then number 13, will they discover, develop, and distribute their spiritual gift? If I were to ask you this morning, what's your spiritual gift? I wonder what you would say. There's a lot of Christians that have no clue. Romans 12, 6 to 8, there are 7 gifts. You can look it up. Romans 12, 6 to 8, 7 motivational gifts that at the moment of salvation, the Spirit of God gave you at least one of those. In fact, if you look at it, you really do them all, but there's one that sort of rises to the top. And what's so neat about that gift, you look at life, at circumstance, at situations, storms, difficulties, good times, you look at life through that gift that God has given you. And that's why it's so important to find out what that gift is. Lord, thank you that you've given me this gift. Lord, help me to be able to develop that gift. I want to use that, because the gifts are important to the body of Christ. It's important to you to find out and let God develop that, but it's important to the body of Christ that we know what our gifts are as we work together in unity to accomplish great things for God. Then number 14, will they surrender to God's will? You know what it means to surrender. You've seen the old television army pictures where they come out, they got the white flag, they surrender. What they're actually saying is, now, okay, I don't have any more rights at all. I'm yours. And that's where it is with Christ. You know, when you accept Christ, it's not what I want to do, where I want to go, what I want to do. It's, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Isn't that what Paul said when he got saved in Acts chapter 9? First question he asked, he says, Lord, who are you? And then he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? We surrender our all. We've got a song that we sing in the hymn books. Now, you know what? I don't really like that song. Have you seen the words? I surrender what? All. Have you given it all to him? Maybe 60%, 75%, 85%, 90%. That's not good. He wants all of you. He wants every bit of you. That's what it means to surrender. You become, as Paul said, a slave of Christ. And that's not a negative thing. You become a servant of the Lord, that he might use you in awesome ways. Then, number 15, will they sacrifice themselves in worshiping God? Will they come to a place where they know what praise and worship is? Praise and worship is not just singing, but it is part of it. When we give testimonies, when we give to the Lord, when we preach the Word, we teach the Word, we share our faith, those are things that we praise God for. We give Him glory. And then finally, will they be settled about their future? Isn't it amazing how many people are preparing for the future? Materialistically, physically, emotionally. But let me ask you a question. Are you prepared to die? Amos, I think it's chapter 4, verse 12, says, be prepared to meet your God. Be prepared to meet your God. And sometimes, you know, that doesn't click in until maybe there's a funeral or someone that you know or someone you love passes on and death begins. You think about death. That's important. What are you doing? How are you preparing? Are you ready? Have you got your reservations in? I don't know about you. I've got mine in. I'm ready. And I think one of the greatest things that would ever happen to me, and I didn't want to fright you guys off, but if I died in the pulpit, that'd be a super time to go preaching the Word of God. And so I've done something today that the normal pastor could never do. I preached 16 messages in about 25 minutes. See there? I told you we wouldn't be long. But you know, seriously, every one of these is a message to be able to contemplate, to be able to think over. And how important. I think about the responsibility. I go to Ephesians 5 and I think where the Bible says, I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Wow. I'm to love my wife as Christ loved. Well, how did he love? He gave himself. He died for the church. And then I'm to love my children and lead them, not just with my talk, but my talk that begins to walk. And they see the visibility of reality in my life. I praise God for fathers. We need to pray for you guys every day. And one of the sad things, and I don't want to end on a negative note, but one of the sad things that I've seen in the last 39 years is God has called fathers to be spiritual leaders in the home. And there's few and far between. We've dropped the ball, guys. We've forgotten what our role is, our calling is from Almighty God. If we lose the family, we've lost it all. That's why some ask me, well, you know what? Is the church the most important thing? Don't want to hurt your feelings. You're not. Jesus Christ is my number one. That's my number two, and my number three is over in Williamson. That's the way it should be. And I pray, and we'll pray for dads, for fathers here in our congregation, fathers around, that we would find the calling that God has placed upon our lives. And Dad, let me just ask you a question. Do you know personally, if you were to die, that your reservations are in, you know that heaven is your home? I hope and pray that's a reality. And it may be today you've just dropped the ball. And today would be a great day. Just say, Lord, I haven't been the dad or the granddad I should have been. And Lord, I thank you for forgiving me. And I want to make a change and about face today. And I want to be the dad that God's called me to be. I want to be the granddad that God's called me to be, to lead my family, to be an example, to be an impact, to be influential in the way of the Word of God. And I tell you, He'll bless your life. He'll work in your life. He'll do great things in your life because I've seen it happen many times before. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful today for our dads and our granddads. Lord, how serious the calling is. Lord, the responsibility that you placed upon the men in the home to be the spiritual leader. Lord, to be able to lead our wives and to love our wives and to lead our children, to love our children. And to make sure that our personal relationship with Jesus is where it ought to be. Because if it's not right, then everything else is going to be not right. And so, Lord, I pray for dads here in our congregation, Lord. The exciting father, the part of living a life and seeing results, seeing our kids grow up to come to know Jesus and to get involved in the church and maybe become a minister or become a deacon or become a Sunday school teacher or become a nursery worker or whatever it might be. And Father, I just pray for our dads and granddads around the country, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would move and work in our midst. And Lord, show us through the Word of God. Help us through the Spirit of God and teach us. Help us to be available and teachable to truths and principles that we might so live. And Father, it's sort of like shooting an arrow. Lord, when you take that bow and arrow and you rear back and you let the arrow go, it's gone. You can't replace it. And Lord, through those early years of life, of training, of leaving, of loving, Lord, I pray that there have been great spiritual results, that our children would become strong in their faith, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, Spirit-filled, living lives that, Lord, we and you would be very proud of. Father, if there are other decisions that need to be made today, salvation decisions, rededications today, whatever it might be, Father, I pray as we come and have this song, Father, it would be a time of worship, a time of praise, a time of decision, that you would get honor and glory and praise. And these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing, Brother Mike.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
All right, if you'll take your bulletins, I promise we're not going to read all these announcements. There are several I want you to sort of look at with me today. Thankful to the Bonner family and the Scarborough family for the beautiful flowers last week and this week. Notice the nominations to help the nominating process. You have a list, and really be praying over this list of where God wants to put you in. Okay, there's a lot of places, a lot of different opportunities to be involved, and so just pray about that this week, and God lead you to become part of one of those teams. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Notice birthdays and anniversaries that are in the bulletin. Those things go faster and faster each and every year, don't they? So thank you guys for that. And also the prayer concerns. This is something you ought to keep with you always. Put it on your refrigerator or in your office or whatever, because there are a lot of folks that need prayer. Missions, praying for those that are sick, those that have different diseases. Pray for our associational missionaries, many folks that are sick, and just lift these up. Also, one that's not in the bulletin, Sam's Club. And somebody, Judy tricked me today. I thought, well, man, I go to Sam's Club. But this is a senior adults on July the 4th celebration. A week, 2 weeks from this Sunday, June the 30th, they're going to have lunch here at the church. Wear your red, white, and blue, and eat some barbecue. Sign-up sheet, I'm going to put this over here by the organ. There's a pen over there. Sign up. Hope you can come and be with us as we worship together. Brother Larry has, I know, has an announcement too as well.